Good morning. Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. One verse of scripture this morning to share with you. Appreciate the kids getting in here. They're a week late. We were expecting them last week, but they delivered, and we are really glad for that. Glad to have y'all. And because of that, we'll be real short. Nothing to do with the Cowboy game that comes on at noon, promise you. I am starting a series of messages on heaven. Today it is heaven. When do we get to go there? Next week, what makes it so special? And it's kind of ironic. I stood by my mom's bedside this Friday morning, 3:15. She goes to heaven. So all the time I'm thinking, boy, this kind of timely. We're experimenting with equipment this morning that feels like something crawling on the right side of my face. So if I keep scratching over there, I hope you'll understand. If you found Luke chapter 23, verse 43, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And this is a conversation that Jesus was having with the other two criminals that were there with him. During the month of October, as I said, we're going to be talking about heaven. We all wonder, where is it? How are we going to get there? Is life, when it's over, are we done? Is there a do-over? There's all kinds of questions that we have when it comes to heaven. Many people fear death. And I think the reason is we just simply don't understand it. Death is pretty simple. It's permanent. There are no mulligans. It is a time of separation. And it's forever. That's what death is. Jesus talks about it, and we pick up on this conversation here on Mount Calvary, and he's going to tell us three things that we know what happens to us when we die. And this is directly sent to those who are a believer. You can listen in today, I guess. If you're not a believer, if you don't believe in Christ, you're here just to check things out, and you're kind of curious as to what this deal is all about, this would be a great time just to listen in. But what I'm going to talk about today applies to those people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, those who have asked God to forgive them of their sin, begin that right relationship with the Lord. You are the audience, the prime audience this morning. As I said, if that's not you, then you can listen in, hopefully learn some things, and perhaps help make that decision. Three things this morning. When do we go to heaven? Personally, I'm one that don't like surprises, so I don't want to be startled by death or heaven. And so I enjoy trying to check things out. I want things tied up, secured. I hate floating around in limbo. So when we know some things about what's coming ahead of us, it's easy to be confident that I don't have to fear, I don't have to worry. It's not something that is going to have a lot of surprises. And I think there's scripture that tells us what to expect. And when we know what to expect, it kind of dilutes that fear that we have of what's going to happen to me when I die. The first thing, and it's all wrapped up here in verse 43, and if you want to underline these words, these three words, you certainly can. But the first word that we're going to talk about is today. When will we go? Well, when a person dies, they don't hang around, they go. When Jesus was speaking to the thief on the cross. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Not, we'll put you in a kind of a, rent you a room for a while, let you hang out for a while and kind of get you ready. He said, today you'll be with me. As a matter of fact, the Lord says, if we don't die and we live long enough, Jesus is coming back, and the dead in Christ are going to come out of the grave first, then you and I who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air to be with the Lord there. And he says that takes place in a twinkling of an eye. When you die, it takes place in a twinkling of an eye. We stood beside my mom's bed Friday morning, and by 1 o'clock, she was through talking. She was through conversing with me and my sister. My nephew was there. Judy and Kevin and Kim had been there earlier. We couldn't understand a word she said, but she was talking and reaching out and different things. But about 1 o'clock, she shut down and just started gradually going to sleep. When she died, it's over. We called the nurse's station. Hey, we probably need a nurse in here to check on Mom. And they came in and did the pulse, the breathing, the things that you do to make sure somebody's permanently dead. The Bible said that happens in a flash. When we die, or if the Lord comes back, there's not going to be an intermission time to kind of hang around and check things out. There's not going to be a time to get our house in order. There's not going to be a time to say bye. It's just going to happen. And as we watch the throat, the mouth just breathe in, it started getting shallower and shallower, but at some point it was done. She's not going to take another breath. She's not going to open her eyes. Death happens in a flash. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me. We're to live life knowing we could leave here in a moment. When he says a twinkling of an eye, it's not how long it takes to bat an eye, not how long to blink an eye. The meaning of that is how long it takes for a light to hit the eyeball and to refract back. That's how quick a twinkling of an eye, not a blinking of an eye, it's just a twinkling, just that spot. And then it is done. So we're to live, that's what he said, with the understanding that you and I could go any time. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be in a nursing home or in a hospital to pass. Every one of us has stories of people who just suddenly died. Amos, the prophet, warns us, prepare to meet your God. Live your life in such a way, though, that when it comes, it doesn't surprise you. Proverbs says, don't brag about what you're going to do or get done tomorrow. Hebrews says, it's appointed unto man once to die. We need to understand that that day is coming. And for the thief on the cross, Jesus said, today, right now, you're going to be with me in paradise. We're told. We're not going to hang around. We're not going to be able to. There's no two-minute warning. It would be nice if it was, wouldn't it? But Jesus has this whole scheme of a thing that you need to live in a right relationship with him so that you'll be ready. Jesus said you're going to be gone with him today. So it begs the question, are you ready? If that's the case, are you ready? If today you were told this is your last day to live and today you're going to die, would you be ready? The nurse called, I guess about 3 o'clock Thursday Thursday afternoon and said, I understand you have the power of attorney and we need to follow your directives. We had that conversation and I'm like, so she's in critical condition because we had just been there Tuesday and she was fine. And the nurse said, yes, sir, she is. And I'm like, okay, question. Should we come right now or could we wait till in the morning? And she said, you need to come right now. And of course, so Judy and I, my sister, we took off. If somebody called you and said, this is going to happen to you today, would you be ready for that? If it's going to happen today, are you ready? Or are you rolling the dice hoping maybe I'll get another day? I'm too young. I don't need this. I'll get ready. Don't worry about it. I'll get ready someday. Can I tell you that we'll all die? Some will die prepared. Others will die surprised without hope of preparing their life. Here's the second thing about it. We're going to be with Jesus. Don't know where he's at. We know he's up. We know he's building a mansion. And wherever he is, that's where you and I are going as a believer. Amen? Today, you will be with who? Me. Today, you will be with me. Soon as we get this crucifixion over with, we're walking out of here. They will stick the body in a grave, but you and I, we're going to paradise. Wherever I go, you're going to be right there with me. Some people believe, and maybe you've heard this or taught this, that we kind of float around out there. One of the folks that my mother had a list of, here's who to call when I pass. And so grabbed that list and started calling people yesterday. And our next door neighbor back in the 50s lives in Casper, Wyoming. I called and his wife answered the phone. And I asked for Ray and explained who I was. And she said, well, he's not here. He died 2 days ago. And I was calling to tell them mom died. And I got to thinking, wonder if there's a line. Just wonder if there's you come to the pearly gates and you wonder if you just get in line and wait your turn and maybe raise a few people behind, but they'd even know each other then. I don't know where Jesus is, but that's where Mother and that's where Ray and they're not sleeping somewhere. And they're not even in a line, okay? That's just my imagination. The Bible says this, absent from the body as a believer, you're present with the Lord. I mean, it's just a fast transition. We just move out of one and into the other. Luke chapter 16, verse 22 said, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. I got to honestly tell you, I was looking for some angels the other morning. Mom was looking, and I'm like, what are you looking at? She couldn't answer me. But her eyes were fixed. She had every once in a while kind of spooky. And then go right back down. You're like, me and Barbara are like, well, what is she doing? I don't know. He said, the angels come. They're coming to you. They're going to come to me, pick us up, carry us out of this body that we're living in right now and take us to heaven. Today, you will be with me. I don't care where he's at. I'm going to be with him. And that's what makes it heaven. It answers some questions about what we have, that we have about death and heaven. Because some people will tell you, you better be baptized before you're able to get to heaven. In Luke chapter 23, they didn't baptize anybody. This guy that he's having a conversation with, today you'll be with me in paradise, there was no baptism. There was no church to give. They didn't even take an offering. What has this dude done? Because the Bible said he's a criminal. He's hung there because of his crime. That answers a lot of questions for us, doesn't it? Our transportation to heaven is in one means. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nothing addition, nothing to be added on, nothing to, I got to get this done before, Jesus said, today you're going to be with me. We're not going to stop by the church and get baptized. We're not going to drop off your tithes. We're not going to go witness to anybody. Today you're going to be with me. I get through here, we're going to a place called paradise. That just sounds like a fun place, doesn't it? I will go into paradise. Criminal never knew anything. He couldn't quote you John 3:16. He couldn't tell you who the Abraham or the Noah. He didn't know any of those. Never knew about Moses. All that he knew was that Jesus was innocent. Jesus was the Lord and Savior, and that's who he claimed to be with. I want a relationship. I want to join up with you. And Jesus said to him, okay, today you're going to go with me to paradise. It's called paradise in the Gospel of Luke. Also in the Gospel of Luke, it's called Abraham's side or Abraham's bosom. It's the same place. When a believer, when you or I die, we leave this earth immediately and we travel to where Jesus is. We are in his presence. John 14:3 said that where I am there, you will be also. So I don't care where it is. But the Bible says, book of Acts, when Jesus left, he went up. He didn't take a right or a left, he just went up. So I'm assuming that when he comes back in the clouds to gather us up, to take the souls of those, the bodies of those that are in the grave that knew him, we're going up. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. That's the third thing. We're going to go to heaven. Paradise is a thing of the past, okay? Let's not make this harder than it needs to be. What once was paradise, now we call it heaven. There for a while they called it Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom. Understand it like this. There is a huge baseball field in Arlington. And I remember when they built it. By the way, they started a new one over there. But when they first built it, they didn't know, what are we going to name this thing? Rangers Stadium, whatever. But they called it the Ballpark in Arlington. That was the name of it. Pretty simple. But then years later, it got sponsored. It got bought out by Globe Life. And they changed the name, Globe Life Park. If you can understand that, then you can understand the transition between paradise and heaven. Because it's all in the same thing. Before Jesus was crucified, before he rose from the dead, people who believed in Christ went to paradise. That was their place. That's where they were kept. When Jesus died, the Bible said he went to paradise. Today, my first stop along the way is going to be to paradise. 1 Peter tells us that he makes an announcement. We know from other scriptures in the Gospel of Luke that when the rich man died and the beggar died, they could see each other. Hey, could you send someone over here to dip their finger in some water? We're tormented in this flame. They were visible. This is paradise. This was Abraham's side. When Jesus died, he came, probably stood in the middle, And the Bible said he preached to those in prison. Not like I preach to you, not like another pastor would preach. Preaching is a proclamation, and that's what he did. He proclaimed, the price has been paid, what has been preached has happened, and he turned to those in paradise, and he's like, get your stuff together, we're going to heaven. In the book of Ephesians, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, meaning that he opened those doors, they came out, and they went now to a new place with a new name, not paradise, called heaven. Today we talk about people in heaven. Prior to the crucifixion, we would talk about people in paradise. But just like it's the same ballpark with a different name, haven't got to relocate it also. I believe it's up. Paradise was emptied out. There is a passage of Scripture that says, hell has enlarged itself. I can't help but believe that they just kind of knocked some sheetrock out and put some people over in the old paradise place, and it's now hell. And that's where people go who deny Christ, who reject Him. Paradise, heaven, is a prepared place for a prepared people. It's a perfect place. Listen to the writer of Revelation. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Wow. That's heaven. Next week, we're going to talk about why it's so special. You don't want to miss heaven. It's a special place. There's comfort. The nurses came in the other night, morning. You guys okay? Yeah, we're fine. Mom's gone. When I got to the emergency room the other night at 6 o'clock, and they had all this junk on her, she's like, motioned for me to come up to the head of the bed, and I stood beside her. And she's like, I am ready to go. I'm like, I got that. I said, so Barbara and I are giving you permission to go. We'll catch up with you later. You go on. Don't feel like you have to stay here for us. When you know that you know, there's comfort. I had them take the IVs out. They were going to be doing all kinds of testing, and I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to give her some oxygen so she can breathe, and we're going to let nature take its course. And if she lays in a hospital bed for another month like this, it's the way it'll be. But we're not going to do a thing to prolong her life. She is ready to get out of here. And we're going to make that possible. And they granted us our wish. 3 o'clock. See you later, Eddie. See you later, Barbara. I'm gone. We'll catch up. There's a day coming. The Lord comes back. Don't have to die. I kind of like that. We've buried too many people this summer. This side of glory is not fun. There's comfort. There's peace knowing one of the things Mother told us in the emergency room, she said, I don't know where this came from, but she said, I joined the church when I was 16. That's scary. That means she's been in the same church 79 years. My 43 years here seems like kindergarten. Don't worry, I will not be here for 79 years. But at the age of 16, she died at 95. Same church. She knew the Lord. She has a paragraph written. I mean, if I had to, last night I was told I was going to have to preach the funeral, and I just kind of panicked, and the man that we wanted to preach the funeral is out on vacation, so we're paying to get him back here. But I got through going through her notes, and she had written, at the age of 9, I had accepted Christ Jesus as my personal Savior in Garland, Texas. Her daddy owned a dairy farm over there, and that's where she was. 9 years old. Kind of ironic. That's when I got saved, when I was 9. But there's comfort and peace in knowing where you're headed. There's this thing called standby. If you're an airline employee, you understand what I'm talking about. The sickest thing an airline could ever do is to think, hey, we're going to give our employees a benefit. We're going to call it standby. That means that you can fly anywhere if there's a seat available. Judy and I have flown standby to the point that it's scary. You've got to really plan your trip. You stand there, ready to board the plane. You got your suitcase. You might have even checked it in. Not a good thing. And you wait after everybody else gets on that has a ticket. And you wait for your name to be called. It's like a bunch of beggars hanging around the kitchen. And if you get your name called, you're delighted. You don't care where you're sitting. You're on the plane, and you get on board. But there's been many a time when they're like, gates closed, there's no more room. Really, you know what you're doing? You're hoping and praying somebody has gotten sick, right? Or you're praying somebody on the way to the airport, they had a wreck, and they're not going to come, and you're going to get their seat. Heaven's not like that. You can have a reservation for heaven. And that's what Jesus offers. That's what he offered to this criminal. And the criminal took him up on it. You. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You took him up on it. And he would say to you, if you were that person next to him, in this story, today, you're going to go with me, and we're going to go to heaven. No waiting around, no checking, making sure, is there space? Can I sneak on? Is it a last-minute thing? Heaven's not like that at all. We're headed there. We ought not to be afraid of it. It ought not to scare us. It ought not to even bring very much heartache. Today, you'll be with me. Can you say that? Today, if I were to die, I'd be with Jesus. Be in a place called heaven. Don't have all the answers, but I know where I'm going. Let's all stand and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Three things you know now. Probably didn't know when you got in here. But if you're going to die and go to heaven, it's going to be quick. It's going to be with the Lord. He's going to be right there by our side. And we're going to go to heaven with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I want to have a word of prayer. And you might be that person here that you're not real sure. You're that standby guy waiting. Hopefully you can jump on. You don't have a reservation quite yet. You'd like to make one. You're not sure if Jesus would come to you and say, today you're going to die. What that looks like for you. And if you don't, would you let us just take a few minutes and talk? Answer any questions that you might have. Because we want you to know. We don't want you to miss. We don't want you being that one on the hospital bed at 3 in the morning, fixing to leave us, not knowing what is ahead. Father, I pray that you'd touch our lives, touch our heart. Help us to understand what's in the balance. I pray for those that may not know you this morning, who simply need a word of assurance or a word of comfort and confidence. Things have happened in their life and they're not real sure. And I pray that you just stir their heart. May their heart be moved by your Holy Spirit. Bring conviction to the point that they be curious and inquire and come and ask so that they might know. Others, Lord, that might have spiritual needs, Lord, we pray that you'd speak into our lives the things we need to hear, the things we need to know. Give us the courage to respond to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.